Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on the throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's again K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to, you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy, and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruth, yeah, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are here. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, we have Sister Emily, and Brother Six. Just me.
All right, so how are we all doing, everybody?
Hello, everyone. Good evening. How's everybody?
Hi, Brother Six. Yeah, we're okay.
Doing good, Six.
Doing good, doing good. Glad to hear it, glad to hear it. Well, I have had a very productive day. Want to say hello to my family, friends, and fans out there of the Six Eyes Radio Network, new and old. Want to thank you all for tuning in. Want to send continual prayers. It was a young three-year-old who was missing, Major Jones Harris. Little baby was missing for the longest. The father killed the mother, and the baby was missing, and they unfortunately found the remains of three-year-old Major Harris Jones. So our thoughts and prayers goes out to his family at this difficult time, praying for continued comfort. Also, we lost a legend in music for the DeBarge family. Our thoughts and prayers goes out to your family, friends, and fans at this difficult time. Tommy DeBarge of the group Switch and DeBarge passed away, so we want to send out continued prayers to the family, friends, and fans of the DeBarge family. From the Six Eyes Radio Network, our thoughts and prayers goes out to you at this difficult time. Also, Alex Baldwin was on the set of the movie Rust, and unfortunately, this is the second time that something like this has happened. In the early 90s, the martial artist Brandon Lee, son of the legendary Bruce Lee, martial artist, I'm sure you know of him, Ken. Well, he was killed the same way. Brandon Lee, the son of Bruce Lee, was killed the same way with a projectile. And apparently they had a live round in the projectile. So history repeats itself on the set of Rust, with Alec Baldwin, and a cinematographer, a young lady was killed, 42 years old, leaves behind a husband, two children. So we want to say continued prayers of comfort for her family and comfort for Alec Baldwin, because that's traumatic. He's been shaken up all day, so we just want to send prayers to both families, you know, and just continue prayers from the Six Eyes Radio Network. And later on, we'll talk about the unfortunate event and how we can stop it later on in the broadcast. So let's get into the show. Amen.
No. All right. Got a lot of prayer requests there. Okay. Emily, do you got any to add to it?
Just continual prayer for my housing and the first responders and all medical staff.
Okay. Well, tonight we got a good show lined up for you guys. Once again, we're still working through the series on alcohol and drinking. In specific, we're talking about tonight, once again, in the scriptures where it actually shows scriptures where there was allowance for drinking. Allowance for drinking, yes. Not to get drunk, but to allowance for drinking. There's a big difference. And as we study these scriptures, you'll see that. So we're studying out the scriptures that gave allowance for drinking. And in the midst of that study, yes, Brother Six Eyes once again takes the mic to see if he can get the right buzzer tonight as he does the song and poem. Does he continue his role? He's been on a roll getting the right buzzer. Does he continue that tonight? Or does he finally break that roll, get the wrong buzzer? And if he does,
get the wrong buzzer. He may use sound effects tonight that may affect those who have PTSD and other disorders, just to be aware of that. And then after we finish our study on alcohol and drinking tonight, then it's time for Ruth to step up to the mic with her Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight, Sister Ruth?
Translation of the church, which is the rapture.
Ah, the translation of the church sounds like a good topic, so you'll want to stick around for that. And then, of course, afterward, we have our question of the day, where we open up the mics for you, our listeners, to answer the question of the day. Once again, opinion-based, there's neither right nor wrong answer to that question. It's all your own opinion. And then we close out with a word of prayer and finish the program with a Red Soul Vine song. So if everybody is ready, we are ready to go into our program tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I hope I do good. I hope I do good.
Hello,
big
brother.
Hey, Emily, how you doing?
Trying to be good, but that's hard.
All right. Well, hello to my lovely mother, Mama Six Eyes, my Aunt Felicia, my rest of my family, friends and fans, my nieces and nephews. And, hey, guys, I am about to be a great uncle. My oldest nephew has apparently taken off work, and his girlfriend is pregnant, so now they will have a child, two cats. So congratulations, Ray. Love you. Excited. Great uncle.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, and I spoke with my oldest nieces earlier today, so that was good to hear from them. Also talked to my lovely Aunt Lavora, so she said to tell everybody hello. And happy birthday to my cousin Quinn and anyone else celebrating a birthday. If I forgot you, charge it to my head, not my heart. Amen.
Amen.
I like that one there, Six.
Thank you.
All right. So, guys, here we go.
Kenny. Also, we need to be keeping Brittany, who lived in front of me, that moved back home with her mama, be keeping her and her newborn baby in prayer. She had her at 9:15 this morning.
Congratulations.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. So get out your pad, your pencil. Six, get out your braille writer. Your quick note, whatever you use to take your note.
Don't pick up me about the stylus and brailler,
comedian.
No, Emily uses a slate and stylus. She don't use a brailler.
Listen, if I had to pick up a brailler, that's all I would do is pick it up. I wouldn't know the first thing about a braille writer. So for those who do braille, hey, I take my hat off to you.
Well, hey,
yes,
Six, I'll have to teach you how to do it because I'm a braille teacher, okay?
And I don't have a brailler.
Well, we'll get you. I'll tell you where to go find one, and then we'll get you busy, okay?
I mean, I think you got yours through the rehab, didn't you?
Yep. So we'll get you busy with it, okay?
Amen.
So, like I said, get out your slate and stylus, Emily, your quick note, whatever you take notes on, because here we go. We're going to get into our program tonight and finding out, once again, like I said, scriptures on the allowance for drinking. So here we go.
Let's do it.
For those of you, call 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of a broadcast, ask your question, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What one thing did you already know about alcohol and drinking that was confirmed in this series? What one thing did you already know about alcohol and drinking that was confirmed in this series? Amen. But right now we're going to get back into our study of alcohol and drinking, and we're going back into the allowance for drinking in the Bible, and this is part three, and our first scripture context is found in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 6 and 7,
Proverbs 31, verses 6 and 7. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy heart. Let him drink, and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more.
And here we find a straight edict right from God's word. Those that are ready to perish or ready to die, you give them strong drink or wine. And those that are heavy of heart, you give them wine or strong drink, so they could forget their misery. And those that are ready to perish, probably because they're already in pain as they're getting ready to die, and they're probably in a lot of pain, and that's why God is in reference to that, for a medicinal purpose. Didn't say to let them get drunk. It just said to give it to them. Didn't say to let them get drunk. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 to 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 to 10. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
For all this, I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth, and to him that sacrificeth not, as is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findest to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest.
And here the writer of Ecclesiastes says, drink thy wine with a merry heart. Once again, an edict to drink. Didn't say to get drunk, just to drink with a merry heart. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Isaiah chapter 36, verses 16 to 18. Isaiah 36, verses 16 to 18. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and eat ye every one of his vine and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his own cistern, till I come and take you away to a land like you, your own land, land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?
And here we find the king of Assyria being a braggart, talking about his land being a land with wine, and saying, don't trust Hezekiah and God. because his land is a land of wine, etc. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 6. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 6. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near.
And here you notice God tells them to buy wine without money, because he's talking about the blessings he would give them. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Isaiah 62, verses 8 to 12. Isaiah 62, verses 8 to 12. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shalt thou drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken.
And here we find Isaiah once again saying that part of the blessing would be that they would have to be able to drink their wine, obviously, because God is going to take them back into the land, and they would drink their wine, not the enemies. Amen. And our last scripture context before six has to guess our message in song and poem is found in Isaiah chapter 65, verses 8 to 10. Isaiah 65, verses 8 to 10. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor, place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me.
You notice here, he says not to destroy the vine or the wine, because what? The blessing is in it. The blessing is in it. And how do we know that? Because God said that when his people obeyed his voice, we've already seen before that he said he would bless the land with wine. And so far, what have we seen? Of course, as we just talked about, the blessing being in the wine. And we found a couple of scriptures where God actually said to give wine and to allow people to drink, such as those who are ready to die or those who are poor or whatever, or in this case, in misery. And he says, give them so they would forget their misery or their poverty or whatever. Didn't say get drunk, but it said to give them wine. Amen. All right, now it's time to turn the mic over to Brother Sixth to see if he can answer this common message in this song and in this poem. Amen.
To trust and too tired to pray, said one, as the overtaxed strength gave way. The one conscious thought by my mind possessed is, oh, could I just drop it all and rest? Would God forgive me, do you suppose, if I go right to sleep as a baby goes, without an asking if I may, without ever trying to trust and pray? Will God forgive you? Why think, dear heart, when language to you was an unknown art? Did a mother deny you needed rest or refuse to pillow your head on her breast? Did she let you want when you could not ask? Did she set her child an unequal task? Or did she cradle you in her arms and then guard your slumber against alarms? Ah, how quick was her mother love to see the unconscious yearnings of infancy. When you've grown too tired to trust and pray, when overwrought nature has quite given way, then just drop it all and give up to rest, as you used to do on a mother's breast. He knows all about it. The dear Lord knows. Just go to sleep as a baby goes. Without even asking if you may, God knows when his child is too tired to pray. He judges not solely by uttered prayer. He knows when the yearnings of love are there. He knows you do pray. He knows you do trust. And he knows, too, the limits of poor, weak dust. Oh, the wonderful sympathy of Christ for his chosen ones in that midnight tryst, when he bade them sleep and take their rest, while on him the guilt of the whole world pressed. You've given your life up to him to keep, then don't be afraid to go right to sleep.
All right, Six, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Ken, I'm going to tell you, this one got me stumped. The only thing I could think of is never be too tired to thank the Lord for what he does for you, because it doesn't take long to say thank you and, you know, to say your prayers before you go to bed. This one got me stumped, so that's my best guess.
Well, Six, you did make make it. It's still now you're 9 in a row and 13. And yeah, all right, doing good. That's what we were looking for. You may be tired, but just reach up for that great big hand that's holding yours. But yeah, that's you got it. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Lord, because that was the tough one right there.
Well, that may have been tough six, but this ain't tough. When you go to listen to the great programming here, found at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. And we're black. Hallelujah. And want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. Especially at the end of the broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What one thing in this series did you already know about alcohol and drinking that was confirmed during this series? What one thing in this series that you already knew about alcohol and drinking was confirmed in this series for you? Amen. But right now, we're going to get back into our study of alcohol and drinking, specifically though the allowance for drinking in Scripture. And this is part 3. And our next Scripture context is found in Joel chapter 2, verses 19 to 24. Joel chapter 2, verses 19 to 24. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain, in the first month. and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil.
And you notice here how God says he's going to provide them and give them wine in its season, and the vats would overflow with wine. Why? Because it was going to be a blessing to them. Again, because God was going to give it to them as a blessing. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Amos chapter 9, verses 13 to 15. Amos chapter 9, verses 13 to 15. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth his seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord, thy God.
And once again, God saying that he was going to bring them back into their land, and what? Give them wine again. Amen. As a blessing. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Zechariah chapter 9, verses 14 to 17. Zechariah 9, 14 to 17. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones. And they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids.
And here we again find that God is going to bless the land with wine, and he says that he's going to give it to them, and the maids are going to be happy, etc. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 15 to 17. Matthew chapter 9, verses 15 to 17. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved.
Here we find Jesus giving the explanation of what happens when you put new wine into new bottles, as verse to new wine into old bottles. The old bottles, because of the type of thing the material was made out of, it wasn't like a glass bottle like we have today, but they were made out of skins or leather type stuff. And when they would, the bottles, as they would get old, they'd get stiff. And the gases from the wine fermenting would stiffen the bottle, and that would be it. But if it was new wine in an already stiffened bottle, it would break it because the gases would cause it to burst. So that's what he was talking about. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 19. Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 19. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
But whereunto shall I liken this generation? Is it like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children.
And here we find one of the verses, context, with the biggest bite on those abstinence people. Jesus himself, whether they want to admit it or not, drank. And obviously he would not get out and preach abstinence, and God would not preach abstinence, if the Son of God, who was perfect and that was sinless, drank. Not never said he was drunk. He was accused of being a drunkard, but he was never drunk. He never drank to get drunk. It says that he drank wine. Because John the Baptist, it says when he came, he did not eat or drink. He didn't eat regular food, is what it was talking about there, that he did not eat. Why? Because what John the Baptist's diet was locusts and wild honey. He did not eat a normal diet. That's why they were saying he did not eat. And he did not drink. He did not drink wine. And they said, why? He's got a devil. But Jesus came eating regular food like every Joe. And he drank wine. He didn't get drunk, but he drank wine. And what they accuse him of? Being a glutton and a wine bibber. Now, they would not accuse him of being a wine bibber if he did not drink wine. Hello, abstinence people. Read it and weep. Amen. It's right there for your eyes to see that Jesus did, in fact, drink wine. He did not get drunk, but he did drink wine. And we're talking the alcoholic type. Amen. And our last scripture context of the day is found in Mark chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Mark chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles.
And here once again is that verse where Jesus is talking about the new wine with new bottles and the reasoning behind it, as we explained earlier. All right, and once again, as we went through, our main verse for the night, Jesus himself drank wine, which shows if Jesus drank wine, that there's an allowance for it in the Bible. We also found in Proverbs the allowance for drinking, saying give it to those that are ready to perish, etc. Is Ecclesiastes said to give wine? So there are scriptures that clearly state we are to give wine. It is also as a blessing. There's a blessing in the wine, God says. So, but it never said to get drunk. He never told us to go out and get deliberately drunk because he had a problem with drunkenness, but he did not have a problem with drinking. Amen. But I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What one thing in this series that you already knew about alcohol and drinking that was confirmed? What one thing in this series that you knew about alcohol and drinking was confirmed in this series. Amen. But right now, we're going to pause for some messages, station ID, and a few other things, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
Yeah, I want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1 Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
Brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame of star comes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Is translation of the church. The second coming of Christ is in two stages. The first stage concerns the rapture. The scripture says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. So at the first stage of the second coming of Christ, we're going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. We're going to be up there to meet him when he comes from the third heaven, because there are three heavens. The first one is where the clouds and darkness are located. The second one is where the sun, moon, and stars are in orbit. And then the third heaven is where God dwells. We're going to be caught up in the third heaven. Christ leaves the third heaven, comes down into the second, even into the first heaven. The shout is given, and then we go up to meet him. Praise the Lord. The second advent of Christ, which is the second stage, takes place at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, and it says in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 4, and his feet, meaning to say Christ is coming back in a bodily form. So he's coming back in bodily form at the second state of his second coming, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east.
The translation of the church, or the rapture of the church, is the time when we believers realize that our earthly journey is finished and we're translated from planet Earth into outer space. We're going to be a time of tremendous spiritual joy because we are going to journey beyond the stars. The first stage, relative to the rapture, concerns only the church. There are seven churches in the book of Revelation. The seventh church is the Laodicean church. That's the church that will be on the earth during the Antichrist reign. That church will be the one world ecumenical church. But prior to the church's forming into an amalgamation and becoming the ecumenical church of the Laodicean age, the born again are now living in what we call the Philadelphia church, and the message of the Philadelphia church by John is in chapter 3, verse 8 in your KJV. Now here's your scripture. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Nobody can keep you from being resurrected if you die before the rapture of the church, because that power alone is in the hands of God, and God has set before you an open door. Revelation 3 and verse 8. Our Catholic friends every so often threaten excommunication to their members if they get out of line according to the Catholic way of belief and doctrine. They say, if you do something, so-and-so will excommunicate you. No man can shut the door, for thou hast a little strength, the Church of Philadelphia, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, or you've been patient giving up my word, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Some may say, oh, this is whenever you're tempted, God will take care of you. It doesn't say that. Let's stay by the Bible. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. What temptation is he talking about? The rest of the verse says, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So who is the church? Any true believer, regardless of where he may attend, if he is truly born of the Spirit of God, according to the book of John, chapter 3, verse 6 through 7, if he has truly been born of the Spirit of God, he is a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great body of believers all over planet Earth, but in various localities, planet Earth, there are separated segments of the body of Christ meeting in local churches. It's true everybody in the local church is not necessarily born again or a true believer. But we do know when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the clouds of glory, he's going to receive the church unto himself. That's when the professors and the possessors will be separated the morning or the night of the noontime of the rapture, whichever. Please note, it says it's going to be like a thief. It's true, we're watching, we're anticipating it. We're living for it. We call it the blessed hope, according to Titus. We're expecting it, and it's going to be as a thief to the ungodly, to the unregenerated. But to us who are looking for it, it's not going to be as a thief, because it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So we're observing the signs of our times. We're watching the trends of this world system, and this world system, believe me, is not of God. God is not the father of the stock market. God is not the author of the evil shenanigans which go on in this world system. This world system belongs to Satan. He said to Christ on the occasion when he had Jesus on top of a high mountain, worship me and I will give you the kingdoms of this world, because they've been given to me and I can give them to whomsoever I want to. The signs of our times, my friends, point with a strong, steady finger that the coming of the Lord draws nigh. We're living in momentous days. Our journey beyond the stars is drawing near. Several things are to take place at the rapture, and they'll happen instantaneously. Number one, Jesus comes down from heaven on a cloud. Two, the godly dead are reunited with their spirits, and they come from paradise. The spirits and souls will come down from paradise and go back into the physical bodies, wherever they are buried. They'll be raised up out of their graves, and they will stand up again upon the earth where they were buried. 3, all ungodly living and all godly dead are to be changed. We're to be raised up out of our graves, stand again in our original bodies in which we died. But then fourthly, we are to be changed. That's 1 Corinthians 15:5. Through, 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Okay, Paul says we are to be all be changed. We are to get a new body. The old body is to change into a supernatural body, much like the body Christ had when he came out of the tomb. Now, we're going to get a new change supernatural body at the time of the rapture. We're going to have that lovely supernatural body, and that body, my friends, is going to take the body that we leave the earth and go up through the first and second heaven on into the third heaven where God lives as we journey to beyond the stars. We won't need oxygen. We won't need pressurized suits. We won't need space capsules. We won't need a communication system. It's going to be the marvel of all eternity when God can take dead clay bodies and transform them into immortality and take us thousands of miles into outer space into his presence in the third heaven. Wow, exciting, praise the Lord. How are we going to be caught up? Well, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, it lays down the fundamental groundwork for us being caught up. Now here's the scripture, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That's Romans 8:11. That's why it's so necessary that we have a spiritual regeneration. Church membership, baptism, communion, singing in the choir, officiating as a deacon or an elder or some church position of that nature is not what saves a person. We must have a spiritual regeneration. Jesus Christ himself in the gospel according to John says in the 3rd chapter, verses 6-7, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, meaning don't show your ignorance. And I said unto thee, you must be born again. That's the message to this lost and dying world that they know in order to be with God Almighty in eternity, in a place of perfection, in an immortal body. They must experience the spiritual birth. It's an absolute necessity. Else how would you have an affinity with God? Now, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Marvel not. You must be changed. From lead to steel, you must leave the affinity. The magnet has the affinity with the steel, with the iron in the railroad car. These physical bodies do not have the affinity. Jesus Christ said on one occasion, if I be lifted up, I will draw and I will pull all men unto me. And on the morning of the rapture, when Jesus Christ comes from the third heaven, and he starts his journey down toward this earth and gives a shout, and he says, wake up, generations of thousands of years of saints who have lain down their armor looking forward to Calvary, or retrospectively viewing Calvary, they will wipe the sleep out of their eyes and they'll come alive, and the great magnet up in the clouds, my friends, will pull us right up to him as we begin our journey beyond the stars. What will the rapture be like? Well, there's a controversy over this part of scripture, but it sure reads interesting. Let's listen to what Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 34, says to say. I think you can well apply this to the rapture of the church. I find many times that prophecies for the second advent, prophecies that deal directly with the second advent, also have a similar meaning relative to prophecies relative to the rapture. And there's a similarity between them. This is one of those scriptures now. Note what it says in the book according to Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 34. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Luke 17, verses 34 to 36 in your KJV. Now that's very simple. In many homes today across our world, there are those who are born again, converted, saved. Their names are inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're living in the home where another member of the family has not received Jesus Christ as Savior, never received him, rejected him. on the morning of the rapture, the one who is converted is going to be taken. The one who is not a Christian is going to be left behind. The scripture is plain in this matter. It says there will be two men in one bed. One shall be taken, one shall be left. Just for reasons to dramatize what I'm saying, let's use the names like Bert and Ed. Bert's the Christian, Ed is not a Christian. Let's say they get a job at the local cement plant, and they're staying at the local rooming house. They work their first day, they've been in the room, washed up, so they go into a restaurant where they have their meal. Then they walk down the street to a newsstand. Bert wants to get a copy of the local paper, and while Bert is getting the paper, Ed looks over the material on the newsstand, and he picks up a number of questionable things because he's not a Christian. He has to feed the lusts of the flesh. The one who isn't a Christian gets material off the newsstand. They haven't been used to hard work in the cement plant, so they retire early, and Ed, the one who isn't a Christian, is lying in the bed reading this trashy material. The other fellow gets down on his knees beside his bed, and he thanks God for his mom and his dad. He thanks God for his two sisters back home. He thanks God for the training that he had in the church. Dad and mom took him to Sunday school. He had a born-again experience while he was a young man. So he hasn't gotten away from the fact that he thanks God. He commits himself to God because he's going to get in that bed. He gets in the bed, covers up, goes to sleep. The other fellow, an hour or so later, finally turns off the light, drops a couple of magazines by the side of the bed, goes to sleep likewise. About 2 o'clock in the morning, the fellow who isn't a Christian sits up in bed and says, "What is that, Bert? Is that you? Who made that noise? Is somebody trying to get in? Maybe I just heard something." And he covers up and goes back to sleep. Next morning, Ed gets up at the regular time. He has to go to the cement plant to work. He sees Bert's shoes there underneath the bed. The covers are there on the bed. There's the paper he bought last night. "Bert, what is this? Are you playing a game? We don't have to make up the bed. The lady will make up the bed later today. Bert, where are you?" "Well, it's late, so I've got to go." So Ed goes on to work, and he doesn't realize that 2 o'clock in the morning, the rapture of the church took place, and this Christian young man is translated. He's changed. His dirt body is changed to an immortal body, a glorified body, and his spirit and his soul go to paradise, and he's transformed, and he goes on in the clouds to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Although for planet Earth, that's going to take place. It's in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's going to happen. All over planet Earth, it's morning somewhere, it'll be night somewhere, it'll be evening somewhere. You see, the whole thing is going to happen on planet Earth in a moment of time. Two shall be in the bed, one left, one taken. Two grinding at the mill, one left, one taken. Two out in the field, plowing, hoeing a row, pulling weeds or harvesting a crop, one taken, one left. All over planet Earth, this will happen in a moment of time. I can see an unborn, again, stenographer as she gets up rather late and she comes to the head of the stairs and yells down, "Mom, I'm late again. Get me a cup of coffee and a piece of toast. That's all I want. I'll be right down." She goes back to her bedroom and begins to put herself together. And it's not an easy task, I'll tell you, for some. But anyway, she finally gets herself put together, and she's all ready for the day. She's a stenographer, so she comes to the top of the stairs, and she says, "Mom, coming." She goes down the stairs, and there's no fire in the kitchen. The toaster hasn't even been warmed. It hasn't been plugged in. There's no resemblance of breakfast being gotten ready for her, and she says, "Oh, where is Ma? I guess she's out talking about the Bible. She's one of those crazy women, always telling people about Jesus. I'm sick and tired of it. She's out with a neighbor already this morning. Well, I'll just leave her alone. I'll go work without my breakfast. I ain't making toast anymore. She's up in the glory land with the Lord. The rapture took place last night." It'll be like that all over planet Earth. Christian mothers will be transformed in a moment of time and taken to be with the Lord Jesus. In homes where there are unborn, again, wives, they'll be left behind, and the Christian husband will be taken. Christian children will be taken, and children who have never been converted will be left behind. It's going to happen on a universal scale all over planet Earth. That's why I feel it's so necessary in these last days that we do everything we possibly can to get the word out. Make every sacrifice you can to see the word of God goes out.
thank God for what we're doing here. It was going to be listened to in literally hundreds of thousands of homes and churches and Bible classes all over planet Earth until the Lord comes. I say to you listening, I'm telling you, my friends, this is one of those days the Lord Jesus Christ will come in the clouds of glory at the trumpet sound and the voice of Jesus Christ. There's going to be the great awakening of the church. The redeemed are going to shake the dust of earth off their clothes, as it were. They're going to stand again and be transformed into beautiful, shining, glorified, immortal beings and go yonder to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. We're going to take a journey beyond the stars. Praise the Lord. This is not mythology. It's not some scheme that a little imbecile girl dreamed about 100 years ago. This is the word of the great Apostle Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, which plainly tells us about all of these things. Well, I don't care where you are, my friends. You could be standing at the ironing board ironing your husband's shirt. You could be in the kitchen making potato soup for the evening meal. I don't care where you are. Husband can be standing at the workbench running the lathe. Or you could be a ticket counter in an airline establishment. I don't care where you are. When the rapture of the church takes place, you leave. That's why the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 8, no man could shut the door. Nobody. And so this fellow begins to stir. Where are you? No driver. And the car is going down the highway. My friends, what do you think is going to happen all over planet Earth? Can't you see literally hundreds of thousands of automobiles crashing into each other, hitting the divider and swerving across the dividing line and over the hill and so forth? Can't you see the calamities that will take place all over planet Earth? All these things are going to happen, and they're going to happen so fast. Two men in one bed, one taken, one left. Two women in the same house, the secretary and the mother out, supposedly gabbing about Jesus, the mother taken, and the secretary left behind. Two men in one car, one taken, one left. Family out for a Sunday afternoon joyride. Christian mother and the children taken, the husband left behind. All these things are going to happen. And then the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, Jesus was talking to the Jews of his day relative to what is going to happen after the rapture, because there's going to be a great time of trouble during the 70th week of Daniel. And it says in verse 9 of 24 Matthew, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. There's going to be tremendous persecution unleashed upon the population of this planet Earth during this period of time, the 70th week of Daniel. 7-year tribulation period, tremendous time of trouble. Then they shall kill you. Then shall you be persecuted. Then shall you be afflicted. And note what it says down in verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What are they going to do during this period of time? Remember that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that means every born-again person living on the earth, is going to be removed from the earth, and everybody on the earth after the rapture will not be saved. There's not one single saved person. Everybody will be unsaved. God, in his fury, because the people in the church age did not accept the gospel from the pen of the Apostle Paul, God says, I'm going to give the world over to a misleading influence. They'll believe a lie. They'll accept the Antichrist. They'll be willing to allow themselves, under the direction of the false prophet, to be herded into the ecumenical one-world Laodicean church. It's all coming as fast as it can possibly come. I see a man. His wife was taken in the rapture, and he's left behind. I see him in his office the morning after the rapture. He's dictating a letter to his secretary, and he says, take this letter. This is to the John W. Williams Company. Dear Mr. Williams, the gross, what was that? My mind is foggy today. I can't remember anything. What's wrong with me? Well, there's not really anything wrong with me. You know, my wife is, she's a super Christian, you know. Where I go at home, there's Bibles and New Testaments and tracts. Even if I go in the bathroom, there's a load of tracts. Everywhere I go, tracts. I love her. My little Lucy, bless her heart, my darling little 4-year-old daughter, I love her. But I had an argument last night. I went over to the club and played some poker, and I looked at my watch, and it was 10 minutes past 2. I hadn't been out that late for a long time. So I went to the phone, and I called the house, and my wife wouldn't answer the phone.
So I went downstairs in one of the rooms at the club, and I laid down on the sofa and spent the rest of the night there. This morning, I didn't even go home. I got up and came over here. I'll tell you what let's do. Here, there's $20. You take this $20, go get yourself a hat. Let's take the day off, and then we'll come back tomorrow. We'll start all over again. Will you do that? All right. I'll see you in the morning about 9:30. I'll be back in the Williams letter. Just put it there. Don't worry about it. We'll just start all over tomorrow. I'll get my coat and hat, and I'm going to the restaurant to get a bite. He goes down on the elevator, and he goes out in the street level to get a breath of fresh air, and he hears the newsboy. Extra, extra, read all about it. Jesus Christ came last night. Hey, boy, here, give me one of these papers. Give me one, yes. Jesus Christ came last night. Yeah, keep the change. My God, Christ came last night. Thousands of people missing all over the earth. Planes crashed. My God, that's what's happened. She told me time and time again. She said, dear, as much as I love you, you just refuse to accept my Lord as your Lord Jesus. Well, come one of these times, and Lucy and I will be taken, and you won't go. That's what's happened. She wouldn't answer because she's gone. Jesus Christ came this morning at 2 o'clock. When I called her, it was about 10 after 2. She's gone. Oh, God. God, I'm sorry I missed the rapture. I was such a fool. What, officer? No, I'm not drunk. No, I'm not drunk. You see what happened? Christ came last night. You don't give a... Well, he did anyhow. He came last night. Where do I live? Yes, see. Where do I live? 38, 97 Honey Hill. That's where I live. Give me a cab, will you? Get me a cab and I'll go home. 3897 Honey Hill. Cabby. 3897 Honey Hill. Will you take me there? The cabbie comes up to the curb. He gets out, pays him, walks up the hallway, or walkway to the house, and says in his own heart and in his mind, I hope this isn't true, God. I loved her. I tried to provide for her, pay the bills. I even bought her a fur coat. I did everything I could, but I just couldn't see that religion stuff. It drove me nuts. He puts the key in the door. Wife, 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 are you upstairs? Are you down in the basement? Are you down there ironing? Wife, she told me I'd be left behind, and the police would come, and they'd give us a mark, and wouldn't be able to buy any groceries. They cut the electricity off, and they cut the water off at the house. What's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen if you reject Jesus Christ and stay behind and keep saying, no, 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 not today, some other time. People began knocking at this door. Yes, who is it? Okay, come in. Your boy is missing? How old was your boy? He was 17. Tell me something about him. Did he go to church? He was a nut on church. He went to church all the time. You know where he is? Listen, he's gone in the rapture. Did you know the rapture took place last night? You didn't know it? Listen, do you know what they're going to do? The authorities are going to take over our bank accounts, so they're going to take over our homes, and they're going to tell us what to do. It's going to put a mark on our hands and our foreheads. We'll be able to buy unless we have the mark. And they're going to control us. They're going to tell us which church we go to, and we have to go to a church. Well, I remember this one verse. My wife said that the Antichrist would come on the scene and he would be so powerful and so strong that everybody would worship him. I'm not going to worship him. The neighbors will begin to come in, and pretty soon he'll have a Bible class in his home, be teaching the Bible. Authorities will be at word of it because you're not going to teach the Bible in those days, my friends. The authorities are not going to allow it. God is going to give the whole world over to a misleading deception, misleading influence, so that the whole world will be satanic and they will believe the lie. They'll accept the Antichrist. I can see this man after he had a number of warnings not to have these Bible classes, and he won't take the mark. He realized what a fool he's been, and he says to himself, now my wife has gone in the rapture. I'm in what is called the tribulation period. I know they're going to persecute me. They're going to afflict me, and they're going to kill me. I'll have to be martyred. But my wife and little Lucy have already gone in the clouds to be with Jesus, and I'm not going to miss that for eternity. I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And the only way you could be saved in the tribulation period is according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. He that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's what individual is martyred, and as the breath leaves his body, he's converted. He has no works. He doesn't have time to go to the judgment of his works. We Christians are going to be judged, or going to the judgment of our works after the rapture, but that man has no works because he wasn't converted until he died. He was a martyr. I could see that man after he'd been warned a number of times by the authorities. Knock, knock, knock. Yes, who is it? The priest? I'll be there in a moment. Knock, knock, knock. I said I was coming. I'll be there in a moment. Listen, hear you. I've warned you two times now to be in church. Your pew is numbered. We want you there. You must be there. The next time I come, you'll be willing to go because we know how to deal with your kind. I won't be there. I know you're going to put me to death. I refuse to accept the Antichrist. I refuse to go into your church, be a part of your worship. I miss the rapture of the church. I know that Jesus Christ died for me. I played the part of a fool. I delayed my decision. The rapture taken place. My wife and little Lucy have gone up to glory. You can kill me if you want to. I'll never go to your church. I'll never do what you tell me to do, and you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. You get out of my house. Guy, what did I do? Why didn't I do it? My business has been confiscated. I can't write a check. I don't have any money in the bank. They took my bank account. I haven't had any food in 4 days. God, give me strength. I want to see my wife and little Lucy. I'm going to lie down and see if I can get some rest. Tomorrow they're going to come and take me and put me in a concentration camp. But, God, I'm going to be faithful. If they kill me, I'm going to die for Jesus Christ. That morning, as he's milling around the place, there's the knock, knock, knock. Yes, who is it? Priest? I'm coming. Struggle with priests and authorities. No. Why do you do this? No. No, don't do that to me. Listen, you scum of the earth, trying to influence other people and causing trouble for the church. We wouldn't put up with that. You're going outside and get in the wagon. We'll take you downtown and we'll handle you. May I just ask one favor of you? I know you're going to kill me. You're going to put me in a concentration camp. You're going to cut my head off. The Bible says that believers will be headed in that day and age. I know that. Could I just look? I just want to look in the bedroom when the wife and I frequented. You could come with me. I just want to look in our bedroom. I just want to see. I haven't moved anything. Dear, it's just like you left it. There's your wedding ring laying on the floor and your house shoes. There's your makeup and there's your Bible. Lucy, oh, little Lucy, how Daddy loved you. Lucy, they're going to take Daddy out and kill him. But I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to let him martyr me. I'm going to die for my faith in Jesus Christ. Daddy will be with you in a little while. Pray for Daddy. Bye-bye. I'll see you in a little while. Sir, I'm ready to go. My friends, what would you dilly-dally around in this dispensation of time when Jesus Christ has already died for you, when the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed on the cross of Calvary for you, when the Bible says the angels of glory are serving you, hoping that you'll say yes to the wooing of the Holy Spirit and the invitation, all things are now ready. Come. We live in the closing days of the church age, and these are the finest days that Christians ever had to tell the gospel story, and these are the finest days that sinners have ever had to repent and get right with God. I know that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why don't you say yes? Why don't you say yes? I receive Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and regardless of the circumstances and the consequences, I receive Christ as my Savior. I'm going all the way with the Son of God, and make him your Savior and Lord this day, and be ready for the journey beyond the stars. And the next lesson is threefold purpose of Christ's second coming.
And we thank you, Ruth, for that great information about the translation of the church. Amen. But right now we're going to pause to hear station ID and the great programming found here only at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics. on The Word of the King on 6ions Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the 6ions Radio Network. The one and only program here on the 6ions Radio Network that can be felt. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week. What you really want? The 6ions Radio Network.
Hallelujah. We're back and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What one thing about alcohol and drinking in this series was confirmed for you in this series that you already knew? What one thing in this series about alcohol and drinking that you already knew was confirmed in this series? It's that time. It's open mic time.
All right. And Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, we always got Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. So we have you, Sister Emily, Brother Six, and me.
All right. Well, we're going to start with Brother Six. If you got his mic open, we're going to see what he has to say.
Yeah, he's open.
All right, Brother Six.
Yes, yes. Well, what I always knew already in the Bible is, about the strong drink. Don't drink to be drunk. The Nazarite, do not drink strong drink and eat nothing of the grape. So that's what I knew. Amen.
All right. And do you have any other questions on the material we presented tonight?
No. Great, great.
All righty.
Great material.
Okay. Now, Sister Emily, your turn. I think she didn't get her coffee.
No, hang on a sec, Ken.
All right. Well, while we're waiting on her, Ruth, we'll go ahead and ask you the same question. Something that you already knew about alcohol and drinking that was confirmed in this series.
All I remember is, I know you can't drink to excess. I was taught that in the old church I was in. The Nazarene church taught us that. And also, I learned it from you. But there's a scripture, I'm trying to think where it is, that talks about you don't drink to excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I think it's one of our bloodhound scriptures. So
that was Ephesians.
Yeah, that's the one, sweetheart.
All right. Are you ready, Emily?
Yeah, why?
Okay, the question of the day is, what one thing that you already knew about alcohol and drinking that was confirmed in this series?
You didn't get Dad's comment over here, did you, Ken?
No, what was it?
He goes, yeah, they don't mix.
Right, okay. But what would you say, Em?
I was about ready to pop that out there when Dad did it instead.
Okay. But did you have any questions, Em, on what we presented?
No, Kenny.
All right. Well, with that, what we're going
to
do?
I kind of got tickled at the fact that Dad came out with the crack I was going to.
Okay. Well, Em, what we're going to do if
can
you don't...
Can I ask, is R6 still on the line?
Yeah, Six is on the line with us.
Six, if you don't mind, after the broadcast, I'm going to give you a jingle.
Well, I'm actually busy right now doing something, so I'll call you.
Okay, bub.
All right.
All right. Well, Emily, what we're going to do is get you to give us a closing prayer, and then we'll close out with the Red Sylvine song here.
Yeah, boy. You got me tonight, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to get you, so come on, Em.
All right, I love you, too. Lord, I thank you for this broadcast. I also ask that anything that was said or done on this broadcast was a blessing to somebody, and that anybody that does not know you, God, they would surrender to you, give their life totally over to you. I ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. And I forgot to answer the question myself, but basically I agree with Six as he was talking about the Nazirite vow, and the not getting drunk part was basically what God's word confirmed what I already knew. All right. So just want to remind those about the show, the open programming, of course, tomorrow, then 1 p.m. Eastern here for the Sunday Gospel Show, and Monday at 9 p.m., Motivational Monday, as we go into next week. We want to see you for the programming that we have here only at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Great program throughout the week. We ask you to join us, and don't forget to, if you got a love gift, to give it via either the PayPal or the Cash App. Once again, by PayPal, enter the email address 6i6@gmail.com, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com, or Cash App, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. And no matter your love gift, big or small, is greatly appreciated. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very much, and the good Lord will bless you. All right, so as we close out here, we hope everybody enjoys, and we'll catch you coming in the future programming here. Amen.
Oh, hey, Ken. Got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
You know when Six did the song and poem?
Yeah.
What group was that that he had to answer the common?
That was the Quick family tonight.
Okay. Was just curious.
Okay. So here we go.
Here we go.
The only thing I own. In my heart I'm pining, while her old engine's whining, with 18 wheels a-humming, home sweet home. I had a gal in Texas, she walked away and left us. This old truck's all I'm depending on. Sometimes I overwork her, but I never would desert her. With 18 wheels a-humming, home sweet home. We've got a lot in common. We keep each other going. Me and this old truck are hanging on. We just keep right on rolling. That lonesome stack a-blowing. With 18 wheels a-humming home sweet home. It ain't the latest model, and it can't take much throttle. Them shiny rigs ain't been where this one's gone. And we ain't in a hurry, we loaf along and worry, with 18 wheels a-humming home sweet home. There's raindrops on my windshield and teardrops on my steering wheel. This lonely truck's the only thing I own. And in my heart I'm pining while her old engine's whining, with 18 wheels a-humming home sweet home. With 18 wheels a-humming home sweet home.